"Patronus Pater," said Lucius Malfoy coolly. Harry felt winded, as though he had just walked into something heavy. He had last seen those cool grey eyes through slits in a Death Eater's hood, and last heard that man's voice jeering in a dark graveyard while Lord Voldemort tortured him. He could not believe that Lucius Malfoy dared look him in the face. He could not believe that he was here in the Ministry of Magic, or that Cornelius Fudge was talking to him when Harry had told Fudge mere weeks ago that Malfoy was a Death Eater. "The Minister was just telling me about your lucky escape, Potter," drawled Mr. Malfoy. "Quite astonishing, the way you continue to wriggle out of very tight holes. Snake-like, in fact." Mr. Weasley gripped Harry's shoulder in warning. "Yeah," said Harry. "Yeah, I'm good at escaping." Lucius Malfoy raised his eyes to Mr. Weasley's face. "And Arthur Weasley, too. What are you doing here, Arthur?"
"I work here," said Mr. Weasley shortly.
"Not here, surely," said Mr. Malfoy, raising his eyebrows and glancing toward the door over Mr. Weasley's shoulder. "I thought you were up on the second floor. Don't you do something that involves sneaking Muggle artifacts home and bewitching them?"
"No," said Mr. Weasley curtly, his fingers now biting into Harry's shoulder.
"What are you doing here, anyway?" Harry asked Lucius Malfoy. "I don't think private matters between myself and the Minister are any concern of yours, Potter," said Malfoy, smoothing the front of his robes. Harry distinctly heard the gentle clinking of what sounded like a full pocket of gold. "Really, just because you are Dumbledore's favourite boy, you must not expect the same indulgence from the rest of us. Shall we go up to your office, then, Minister?"
"Certainly," said Fudge, turning his back on Harry and Mr. Weasley. "This way, Lucius."
They strode off together, talking in low voices. Mr. Weasley did not let go of Harry's shoulder until they had disappeared into the lift. "Why wasn't he waiting outside Fudge's office if they've got business to do together?" Harry burst out furiously. "What was he doing down here?"
"Trying to sneak down to the courtroom, if you ask me," said Mr. Weasley,
looking extremely agitated as he glanced over his shoulder as though making sure they could not be overheard.
"Trying to find out whether you'd been expelled or not. I'll leave a note for Dumbledore when I drop you off. He ought to know Malfoy's been talking to Fudge again."
"What private business have they got together anyway?"
"Gold, I expect," said Mr. Weasley angrily. "Malfoy's been giving generously to all sorts of things for years. Gets him in with the right people. Then he can ask favours, delay laws he doesn't want passed. Oh, he's very well connected, Lucius Malfoy."
The lift arrived. It was empty, except for a flock of memos that flapped around Mr. Weasley's head as he pressed the button for the atrium, and the doors clanged shut. He waved them away irritably.
"Mr. Weasley," said Harry slowly, "if Fudge is meeting Death Eaters like Malfoy, if he's seeing them alone, how do we know they haven't put the imperious curse on him?"
"Don't think it hadn't occurred to us, Harry," muttered Mr. Weasley. "But Dumbledore thinks Fudge is acting of his own accord at the moment, which, as Dumbledore says, is not a lot of comfort. Best not talk about it any more just now, Harry."
The doors slid open and they stepped out into the now almost deserted atrium. Eric, the security man, was hidden behind his daily prophet again. They had walked straight past the golden fountain before Harry remembered. "Wait," he told Mr. Weasley, and pulling his money bag from his pocket, he turned back to the fountain. He looked up into the handsome wizard's face, but up close, Harry thought he looked rather weak and foolish. The witch was wearing a vapid smile like a beauty contestant, and from what Harry knew of goblins and centaurs, they were most unlikely to be caught staring this soppily at humans of any description. Only the house elf's attitude of creeping servility looked convincing. With a grin at the thought of what Hermione would say if she could see the statue of the elf, Harry turned his money bag upside down and emptied not just 10 galleons, but the whole contents into the pool at the statue's feet.